Let's talk about BitMethod 4.0, Amanda. You're in charge. What's happening?
All right. Tomorrow, guys, Kit and Jim.
Okay. Now, we have not... I don't know if this has been on the podcast, so let's inform people about Kit and Jim.
All right. So we're going to make a game, an app, most likely, and we haven't decided if it will be about a kitten named Jim or it will be about a gym full of kittens.
Well, I think more gym for kittens. I mean, because if it's a normal gym full of kittens, that could just be like a kitten invasion.
Oh, yeah, we could just do that anytime.
And I'm imagining like a hoarder style thing with feral cats. This is a very cute gym with kitten-sized equipment.
We're going to beef up their biceps.
I want it to be a kitten named Jim in a kitten gym.
I think we could do that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so really are you guys ready to do a project sprint on that?
Let's do it. Copyright BitMethod 2011. Don't steal our idea. Kitten Jim. His name's Jim, and he's a kitten in the kitten gym.
Meow.
Hello. You're listening to episode 18 of The Flyover Effect, a podcast about startups, design, and all things internet. I'm Scott Rocketship, your producer and frequent co-host. Also joining me from BitMethod are Amanda Morrow and Neil Roberts. You can learn more about us at www.bitmethod.com. This episode is about events, concerts, networking events, the atmosphere, the experience, and as per usual with the team episodes, more than a few tangents. Enjoy the show. Okay, two questions. Answer in any order. Why punk shows as opposed to other shows? Mm-hmm. Why shows as opposed to...
like concerts?
Concerts or sitting in your basement listening to records in the dark.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about this because I've been to festivals. I've been to like arena shows. I've been to shows that are literally in someone's basement and you're all like shoulder to shoulder. And then I've also been to like small venues. I hate paying money and not being able to see the band, you know? So like if a favorite band of mine is playing at a really large venue, like I probably won't go just because I don't think that's worth it. It's something about the intimacy of it. Yeah, I don't know. There's just that atmosphere. And I also like really appreciate how good of musicianship there is and how they perform. So like there's a couple bands that I love, love, love. And I go watch them and they're just like boring as all hell. Like you fall asleep when you're watching them. And so that's kind of a bummer. But I like to know that one way or the other. And you can't really see that from a long distance and stuff. Well, but I don't know.
When it comes to music, I like concerts are great because it's validation or it disproves that they're actually really good musicians. Like if you go see a band and they're amazing live, you're like, I feel justified for my continued love of them. Sometimes it's a letdown too when you go to concerts and they're just not very good.
The only concert I remember leaving that I paid money for was Fall Out Boy. Like it was
I could
they're
see
pretty
that.
Bad.
And this was when they were still doing club shows. Like this was the old House of Bricks in Des Moines.
Yeah.
And it was pretty full, but it was $10, $5.
Yeah.
We just left. It was so bad.
Yeah. It's funny how that will follow a band too. Like everyone I talk to is like, yeah, I listened to that album, but they're just shitty live, you know.
Video gets you pretty close. Like, I love Austin City Limits. I love Saturday Night Live, particularly for the bands. I know it's like some people just aren't that into it. I love seeing good bands on Saturday Night Live.
See, I can't do that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't, like, I just feel uncomfortable watching it, and I just don't feel like they're... I think the thing about a show is like they're playing several songs in a row, so it might take them a few to get warmed up, but with Saturday Night Live, it's like you jump on the stage, you do your song... And I feel like they don't always quite get in their groove or they don't feel like this connection with the audience.
Well, see, but that's a similar thing to the live show. It's just like you're putting somebody in a different place and someone that can really handle that, you know, is just like blows your mind. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the last band that really got like them? Crooked Vultures, their SNL spot recently, like just fantastic. And they play like rhythmically complex music.
I was actually talking with Eric, my boyfriend, the other day about this, but we went and saw this band, White Wives, at the Muse, and two of the dudes are from Anti-Flag, which is like, I think they're like an older hardcore slash punk band that, you know, is kind of political and stuff, and the band is like indie rock, like that we were watching, this like new band they're in, and they're on like the same label as Green Day and stuff, so I think they kind of fit that groove or whatever, but the dudes like... there's maybe 15 people in the audience. They're on this tiny little stage. There's like five or six guys in the band. And they just like killed it. They didn't care that there was nobody there. And that actually, like you're saying with the SNL thing, like if you throw them up there, can they still perform and still like, you know, make sure everyone's getting their money's worth and getting a good show out of it. And I thought that was really interesting.
There's a few things that only seem to work in person too.
Yeah.
Like I went to a show at Vaudeville Muse, I think it was, and there was this, I can't remember the name of them for the life of me, but it's just this like really intense, like instrumental, like progressive rock stuff. Mm-hmm. No lyrics, no vocalist at all. And this show was just like, I'm finding it difficult to describe even right now.
Yeah.
And so like I went home and I was so stoked about this band, like pulled up their albums and it's just like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, listening to the album just did nothing for me. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. But seeing them live, it was so, there was so much technical proficiency on display that really kind of made it.
I totally, you know, had that same thing happen with Baroness, but maybe the opposite way. Like Eric had their CD in my car and I was listening. I was like, God, every song sounds the same. I hate this band. I just like, I don't like it. And so I went to a show with them and they were amazing. And like the whole show was awesome, but the only thing about that is actually when I went back to listen to the album, I appreciated it more, which didn't seem to happen with your situation. Yeah.
Well, I went to see some other concert, some other band, and there's a band named Reliant K that opened for them, which is, let's say, a family-friendly band.
Mm-hmm.
And they were amazing. Like they rocked really hard. They played a Weezer song. Like it was a really good concert. And I went back and I listened to the album and it was just boring. It was like safe. It was safe and boring. And like, oh, I want that I had in the concert. Like all this stuff, it seems like there's something to be said about seeing anything in person. Like, you know, we started talking out about concerts, but even the bloggers that we read and the, you know, for me, it's tech for all these different speaking things that people do. Like still seeing them in person is a big deal. You know, we can hear them on podcasts. We can hear them on the videos or whatever. Seeing them in person still has a lot of weight to it.
I think
for the same reasons as concerts, yeah. I think.
Well, it's that thing where if you get them to go to one event, like I remember after I went to like my first two shows, I was hooked. I was like, I'm going to keep going to these. Like, I don't care. You know, like I went to shows by myself in Des Moines. And looking back on it, I was like, was that always the best idea? But, you know, like I just knew, like I had started getting comfortable with going into those new venues and things and just knowing how a show works. And I think with a lot of the events around here, if you can just get people to show up once or twice and have a good time.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it just makes such a huge difference. And then another thing is like, it's funny because with concerts, especially around here, like the most successful way of marketing them is flyers right after the shows. So you walk out and they're handing you little pieces of paper that are saying like what shows are coming up that are just like that. It's because of that addiction factor. Like you liked this, here's some more, you know, shove it in their face. And they're like, oh yeah, I might go to that. Especially like those little 16-year-olds that like to go, you know, like they're all excited because they're like, I went to my first concert. Like that's the way to get them, you know?
I think there's a lot to be said for atmosphere. The barrier for quality of experience, art, whatever, I think is lower with the right atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
And there's limits to that effect. But if you're going to, let's take like a tech event, right? If you're going to watch a video of a keynote at some conference and you're watching the video of it 3 months after the fact while you're eating a bowl of cereal in your underwear in your basement, you might still get a lot out of it. It might be a really informative video. It might be emotionally moving, whatever, but it's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. And you haven't primed the pump, so to speak. You know, if you're at a conference and everybody's got this heightened energy level and you're meeting new people and maybe you've been drinking a little bit, there's just a certain magic to it.
What's fun about going places or even watching stuff live fits in as well is that you've decided to turn some of your mind share over to that event or over to that talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's with recorded stuff, right? Even some live stuff, which you can pause. If you're watching recorded stuff, you don't really have to commit to it. Like your brain can be doing something else. I think that part of the enjoyment of going to events is that you've told your brain, like you are concentrating on this for the next however many minutes.
Yeah. That's, I'm trying to keep that mindset when I use Netflix now,
yeah,
you know, of just like giving stuff a chance because it's so easy to just hit back.
Yep.
And then go queue up something else if the first 10, 15 seconds don't grab you or the first 5 minutes don't grab you. Like, I don't know. I don't think this is what I was in the mood for. Go find something else.
Yep.
But, you know, I've been to movies before where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I came to this. This is so bad. This is so slow. And then, but maybe there's a different build up to it, you know, and then it ends up having a particular effect.
Well, that's interesting, the movie as an event kind of perspective. I think that's really like...
They lock you in.
That's like a laser-focused view on what's interesting about going somewhere to see something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, see, hear, experience, whatever the term is. Like, going to see something in a theater has a special feeling to it. You can't get it from anything at your house because you still have that power to pause, to leave, to watch it later. I think there's something to be said about the mindshare that you give.
And just and I think the number of senses it engages too. That's what's always been really big for me. I love, love, love. Cat hates it. My wife hates it. I love going to the mall. I don't buy things at the mall. I mean, I do sometimes, but I'm not like a regular mall shopper. I've had the same wardrobe for 3 years now. But I love being at the mall. Like, I don't know, just for me, something about that experience and the way it engages the senses and just the people around and just the little bits of conversation snippets that you overhear. You know, when I start dragging at work, like, I'll just go walk through the Skywalk just to hope to see, like, I hope I see somebody weird. I hope I hear something weird.
Hawkeye Pantry is a great place for that.
Yeah. Going down to our little, the C store nearest us is, pretty good slice of life of the downtown crowd. So I don't know. I think, and so if you take that down to like the really small level, what's hard is that when you do really low key stuff, like some of the networking things, like some of the little just like user group stuff, we've been kind of talking about doing more programming from BitMethod. It's hard to get that effect when like you're trying to be so low key and, hey, everybody, you can just come hang out and it's easy.
That's the thing that we've been also discussing with like meetups. Is like if they're meetups are hard because you can't give your mind share to just like you're giving your mind share to like meeting people. And we've always talked about how we really like things with some sort of agenda. But so it's like, you know, I've come and I'm going to focus on this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't give any of my mind share at most of the tech it's events. Tough. I'm there, but as soon as I get bored, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Last one that I went to, I was not going to go to it. And I told myself like, hey, I'm going to go to it. I'm going to give it a chance. I had way more fun than I've had at many of the other ones. And like, I don't know if maybe that has something to do with it. Like,
just the attitude you brought into it?
Yeah, just the attitude that like, this isn't something that I'm just going to passively do, that I'm going to experience. Like, deciding to go, I feel, made it a much better experience for me. Like, I viewed it as an event rather than what I usually view it as, which is kind of like somewhere that you go and walk around and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go with the intent of getting something out of it, that makes a huge difference. Like, you know, sometimes if you go to an event, you're like, I want to make sure I at least talk to these two people. Like, at least you're going there and, you know, you kind of have a goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Sometimes if there's just not that starting point for conversation, like, I just hate generic meetups that are just like, come hang out. Well, the problem is a lot of people who like to talk to us or want to hang out with us just stop by our office and we're cool with that. Like, that's what we enjoy.
Yeah.
And I mean, the events give them a chance to be exposed, like expose us to new people. But if you can't get over that initial border or that fence, basically, like what good does it do?
Yeah. I mean, the meetup model is fine. I don't think that the meetup model is broken, but I think that I don't get into the right mindset to go to the meetups. And they're not helping me.
Yeah. Do you think it's just different people? Because, like, I wonder how much just the introvert-extrovert kind of models fit into it. I am exhausted by people, like, as is my wife. Like, that she has the term now that she needs people sleep. Like, we get home from a networking thing. She's like, I just have to take a nap. Yeah. Like, I need my people sleep now because I talk to so many people. I love people. Like, I love working with groups of people. I love collaborating with folks. I really don't like to do anything solo. I love to have partners on stuff or a small team of collaborators. But, like, interacting with a lot of folks is just not an energizing experience for me.
Like, I'm right down the middle. I, you know, on the personality test, I'm like 51% extrovert, like just barely an extrovert. But, you know, it's whatever I feel like on the day of the thing. Like, that's how I am.
Yeah.
I notice events where there's some sort of introduction or some sort of information that you're sharing with people to, like, kind of introduce you to everyone. Like, that seems to work so well. So when we went to the Cranky Talk workshop in Chicago, like, the first thing you did was get up, do something ridiculous, and then you kind of introduced yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And like, right at that point, like, my nerves went away and I actually felt like I was in this group of not, they were still strangers, but I didn't feel as uncomfortable.
I wish more people could take that to heart, because like that does a lot for me. That does a lot for people with my personality type. Like I just went through this 8-week class and like total strangers, and we did that kind of thing. Like every class there's a warm up, and there's like different people that would pop in and out of the class because they're making up sessions. We would focus on learning everybody's name and doing little warm ups where everybody has to do the same silly thing, and it did wonders for the energy and the atmosphere and whatever.
Well, my favorite meetup, like that ties into all of this, is I went to Central Iowa Bloggers a while ago, and it was kind of when everyone was doing really heavy blogging.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was it's kind of wound down a little bit, but there's a period where there were a lot of people writing, and everyone knew some of the stuff the other people had written about. And I went to there for one of the Central Iowa Bloggers meetings, and everyone knew what everyone else had been writing about, and we had great conversations.
Yeah.
Like, I read that thing you wrote. It was really good. Here's what I liked about it. Here's what I didn't like about it. That meetup was really comfortable, and it was the best discussion I remember having at any of the meetups that I've been to.
Yeah. Maybe I just need to, like, go to coffee with people more or something. You know, like...
I'm a lot more comfortable with, like, a small group, too.
Yeah.
Like, I can do the hello, how are you? But I just, like, the value in that, I just have gotten burnt so many times where I'm just like, that was kind of... It was okay, but I don't know if that was really worth my time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's just always a barrier with a complete new stranger. And if when you're planning your event, if you can break that barrier down, find some common ground between everybody, you know, like when I go to a show, like we've already talked about, like I know everyone in that room likes the same band as me or is interested in it in some way. Like that's the barrier that has been broken down. So, you know, like you need to find a way to make people kind of get out of that comfort zone. And like Neil was saying, you have some sort of connection. Why do tweet-ups work so well? You kind of know the person. You kind of can identify them. So you know what you're getting into before you actually say hello. It's just an interesting concept.
I kind of liked the tweet-ups when they were a little more formalized. There's a guy in town who does tweet-up badges. It's like everybody had like badges with their names on them. And I don't know, that like something as simple as that, I think, can do a lot for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great way to just learn people's names and meet people, stuff like that.
Running events isn't easy, and it takes a certain amount of energy for somebody to just put themselves out there and say, I'm going to do this event, I'm going to take charge of it, I'm going to be responsible for making this happen and invite people and all of that. And that's very admirable, and I'm very glad that there are a lot of people, not just in our community, but in tech communities everywhere, doing that kind of thing. And it seems to me like the ones that are having more success are focused on putting just, you know, going a beyond the minimum, just enough to put some structure on it, some rails on it, some energy into it that'll make it appeal to more folks, make it a little more successful for everyone. And I think there's a lot to be learned from the theatrics and experience of, you know, paid entertainment type stuff. You know, if you go to see Bon Jovi in concert, like he's going to have an opening act, you know, and the lights are going to go up and down in between. And there might be somebody to announce that it's happening, you know, and they do an encore. Like there's, you know, most entertainment acts don't, you know, they don't, it's not open mic night. It's not like everybody's sitting in a coffee shop and then suddenly and unannounced and unscripted and awkwardly some guy gets up there and starts playing a guitar. Like there's just a little bit of structure to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important.
There's someone that is worried about its quality. I think that's a huge thing. Like they're just knowing that there's someone there that's responsible for caring whether or not you had a good time is immensely important. You know, the meetup thing again, there's no one there that cares about its quality in general. Some there are, but you need that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not noticing, they're kind of really focused on themselves and not really looking around and saying like, is everyone else getting something out of
this? No, that's great. Like I think the most important question is like, how do we make this successful for the people that are in our audience? And like when we run Market Day, this craft event that my wife and I run, you know, we are concerned about the vendors. We try and make them happy. But they are not where the buck stops. Like we need to make sure that it's a quality event for the people that are coming through that door.
Yeah.
And that's everything for us is, and you know, we don't make everyone happy. The last event we just did, we got an email about it, and or somebody posted on Facebook, and then somebody else had like come up and talked to Kat, and some woman had said that she'd talked to everyone and we'd all decided that the music was too loud. And I think the Facebook comment was like, loud rock and roll music at a craft fair. Who would, you know, who would think of that? Blah, blah. And so it's not about pleasing everyone. That's a tar pit. You don't want to try and please everyone. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But knowing who your audience is and trying to make them successful, I think is good. And I think it's just kind of jerky to say, we only care about the people who are just like the extrovert type A, you know, firm handshake dudes that are going to come by and pass their business cards out to everyone. Like, you know, there's the tech community, I think, needs to be a lot bigger and more inclusive than that.
Another interesting thing is to think about what type of people you want to draw. And I don't think a lot of people realize this, but just having butts in the seat is not always a good thing. Having the right people at the event makes a huge difference. So like, you know, you can do general marketing campaigns or, you know, like put it in the biggest newspaper or the biggest website and say, hey, come to this event. But if it's just 300 random people and you're not getting like a very targeted audience, you know, it's kind of like the thing like the state fair, like you go to kind of people watch, like you get something out of it by the people that show up to that fair. Or if you, you know, like I've been to crust punk shows, that's just amazing to be there just because of the people that have showed up to it. And, you know, it, that's part of the experience. That's part of the value in your event is making sure that, you know, if we did Design Plus Tech and we didn't have anybody who knew anything show up, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. Curation. I mean, it's almost curation to a certain extent. And that's, and maybe that's where it seems extra frustrating is I will see folks that run successful products, successful blogs, successful online communities that then in an in-person setting do little to no curation. It's just whatever. And they just slap names up wherever. And the agenda is just, whatever. And the audience is whoever wants to show up. Yeah. And there's little to no curation for it. And maybe I'm just being snobbish about event management, but I guess I feel like it's just kind of a logic-based thing, like that if you just stop and think for 5 minutes, it becomes pretty clear what you need to do.
I mean, for our events, you know, I've had to like really reach out to specific people and be like, please come to this, because if you come, like, I really think it says something about our event. I think other people will get something out of it, and you might get something out of it as well. Like, you know, there's a lot of people around here that are really good at what they do, and they might not need an event that's teaching them anything. Hmm. But I don't think they realize like the value of their knowledge and just being in that room, you know, with some other people that want to learn.
So I feel like we've been cranky. Let's talk about some positive local regional events. I really, 8035, I think is a big success in the sense of the audience experience. Like they've had some problems. Like there were some schedule problems at the last event, but just like there's free water. Like, that is not something they do at a lot of music festivals. That very few festivals are just like, hey, here's some bottles and some taps, and just you can drink some water, and putting a lot of bathrooms everywhere and, and that kind of thing just makes for a very nice experience. And all the feedback I see is that, like, everybody who comes in from out of town just is flabbergasted by how polite and cool and interesting everyone is. And it helps that Des Moines is a polite community, but I think everybody there, the people coming from out of town, are finding everyone to be polite and super cool because they're having a good time and their needs have been
met. You know, I used to work for Ragbri, which is this week-long cycling event that goes across the state. And you want to talk about like experience and just really well organized. Like the riders know exactly where they need to go every day. And the great thing is the towns that they go through are so happy about it. Usually sometimes there's some grumpy people, but like, you know, everyone is on board with the event because it usually comes through your town for one day. They're just like there to help, and they want to, you know, help these out people from out of town as much as possible. And I think that really leaves everybody with a good feeling and they want to come back. I mean, there's people that have done that event for 20 straight years. Like they're doing something right. But yeah, like just showing off their towns and giving some value and say like, we are really proud to be from Iowa. Here's our state for you.
I haven't been able to go to many of them, but back when Impromptu was still operating, our co-working studio, some of the Web Geeks meetings I went to were kind of fun, because like there's one I went to and the guy running it worked really hard to make me feel comfortable there, because you know, it was just like, I'm not a developer and I'm not even a designer, and they were doing kind of, and I think what helped is it was project oriented. They were doing this coding dojo thing of, we're going to issue a challenge, then everybody's going to work on it in small teams for a little bit. And so that structure made it really easy for me to participate and feel welcome, even though my skill set, quote unquote, wasn't necessarily up to snuff with some of the other people in the room. And so I thought that was kind of cool.
I think the whole idea of expectations is really important for events. I mean, what bugs me, and doesn't bug everyone, but what bugs me is the events that announce one speaker. And like, oh, we're going to sell tickets now. And you're like, well, when are you going to tell me the rest of the speakers? Or, you know, when are you going to tell me the rest of what you're going to do? And they're like, oh, well, a week before the event comes on.
Transparency a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, 8035, it has been bad some years in terms of them announcing later.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this past year, I was into it from the first announcement that they made. But, it's knowing what to expect is a really important part of events.
I try and give people a lot of leeway with that. And I think the lesson that the event organizers need to keep in mind is that if you have a reputation, then you can do that.
Yeah.
If you don't have a reputation, you can't do that. Like, and it's easy to fall in the trap of saying like, oh, just support your community. But like, I'm sorry, if something's new and the person doesn't have a history behind them and they haven't programmed a lot of other successful events.
And you're paying money.
And you're paying real money. Like
$400.
Yeah. Like, I'll be excited when you show me that this will work. And I don't think that's a negative thing. That's just a logical thing. Like 8035, for me, I don't mind buying my tickets when like they come out, because A, I think the early bird prices are stupid cheap. And B, I know that they're going to put a good lineup together. Even if maybe it doesn't end up being full of, you know, heavy hitters that are going to make people drive in from Chicago, I know it's going to be the kind of music I like. And so they have a reputation with me, and I think the kind of fans they're going after.
That's a good point. 8035, you have an idea. Like, the expectation they set at 8035 is we're going to have 26 performances, right? Like, the chance of you not enjoying one of those 26 performances is so low.
Right.
Like, my favorite one was Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, and I had never heard about him before I went there.
Yeah,
and
they weren't even on my favorite.
And it was great. Like, I had faith that there was going to be someone there that I liked. Like, that, the expectation is we're going to have this many speakers. Or, you know, they're just going to be this type of speaker.
What about, like, when people modify events? Like, that also bothers me. So what if, like, 8035 did one thing the first year, and then the second year they're like, well, that didn't quite work, so let's just modify everything. How long do you usually give it, you know? Like, how long did you know until Market Day was kind of going to, like, start picking up steam, or that you were doing something right? You know, how do you go about modifying that stuff?
Boy, I that might be a whole nother bag of worms.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Market Day, which is in its third year now, we're at our third location, which has been a pain in the butt. That's something we haven't had a choice but to modify. And so knowing that fact, we've made an effort not to change anything else too much.
Yeah. You know, most of the vendors are pretty much the same, right?
Yeah. And we learned a lot of lessons the first season. I change shit all the time, and that was stupid. That was a stupid idea. We ran different hours on some of them. And, you know, in my head, it was like, well, we don't know what works, so we need to keep trying different things. And I think it's, we don't know what works, so we need to research and ask people and learn more. The correct thing with events is not, we need to figure out what works, so let's try a bunch of different shit.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the same thing over and over again is what has helped us learn.
Yeah.
And doing the same thing over and over again has helped us every single event. I think the quality of vendors has gone up, you know, bit by bit by bit. There are some vendors that were in the first season of Market Day that will never vend at Market Day again. And it's not about them, and it's not about what they do, but it's just not for our event, you know? And so that's stuff that we've learned as it's gone along.
I mean, how do you know that you have a good idea to begin with? Like, I think there's, so you have the experience of doing it monthly.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some people that are doing things yearly.
Yeah, that's tough.
That are going to have to do some of this big change.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like some of the big change is because they never really had an idea that they believed in to begin with.
You need that momentum. I think that's an awesome point, Neil. And it makes me think of our interview with Alex Hillman from Indie Hall, right? Like, he talked about how the thing for him was not about the space and seeing if the space would work and if the plans would work and if the pricing was going to work and if the programming was going to work. He just got the people. So he had momentum. He went out and recruited all of these folks. You know, if you want to do a yearly event, build up to it, you know, get some kind of critical mass, have something out there. And I think that's what helps, you know, like, okay, the community needs this, right? I mean, Amanda, you've been at, you know, you were at it for almost a year with BitMethod, or just at a year when you started Design Plus Tech.
Yeah.
And so you had spent a lot of time going to these other tech events in the community and feeling it and talking to people. And then, you know, there weren't 600 people at the first Design Plus Tech, but it was definitely a success.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've pretty much kept the same number every time, or even, I mean, there was one that we had quite a few, and I think this next one will grow tremendously just now that school's in session and stuff. But I think it's tough too, because after the first one, I was like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I was expecting like 30 people to show up. And it's tough because you're putting a lot of energy into it. You're talking to a lot of people. You get them to say, yeah, I want to do it. And then they don't show up. And I think it's really important just to kind of keep with it and just give it a shot before you shoot it in the leg, you know?
Yeah, like have a voice that you believe in and then stick with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Events, so like my summary would be, events are really, really hard.
They're
really hard. Getting the momentum is hard. Making them successful over the long term is hard.
Building a reputation, for
and
sure.
And where I get critical of events and where people think I'm a jerk is that the low-hanging fruit, right, is like name tags and having like someone say words for 2 minutes at the beginning and giving people any effing clue what this thing is even about. Like that doesn't come from decades of event planning experience. That comes from taking half an hour to think about your audience.
Yeah.
And so I've failed at that with some of my events. I try not to anymore. And that's something that I hope people can take to heart.
I mean,
does that get all preachy?
Yeah. Like I've really tried to take all those things into account, you know, like expectations. I try to write up a really detailed description of what we're going to talk about so people don't show up and they're like, oh, this isn't what I expected. And then trying to get them to interact, I think, is really, you know, even if it's just asking questions or talking to each other, working in a group, I mean, there's some value in that. Like, I want people to walk away feeling like, that was a good meeting. I'm excited to go to the next one. I think that's the end goal, for especially for some of these educational events that we've been doing.
Have you guys ever been to the Italian festival?
No.
All right.
I've considered going and I have not gone, and I'm not sure why.
They used to do it at like the Italian heritage area or whatever.
The museum.
They had like a big lawn, and they have like bocce ball tables that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there when they did it at the old location, and I had so much fun. It was great. The atmosphere was great. There were people kind of relaxing and talking, and it felt very friendly. And they moved it to the bridge the last couple of years.
Downtown.
And every time I've gone, there's been someone drunkenly bumping into me and yelling, and it hasn't been pleasant. And it's odd to me that you can take the same event from one place, have it be really great, and put it somewhere else and have it be really terrible. Like that's the weirdest part of events for me.